Today's daf brought to you mibein chomot Yerushalayim is daf tzadik gimel. We're holding the halakha mishnah on tzadik beit amud beit. And now moving on in this perek to various new yisodot that have to do with hotza'a, we get to the question, which really is a question that affects all malachot, but as we've already found out, somehow or other hotza'a becomes the definitive malacha. And therefore, we're going to raise the issue here in hotza'a, even though it has universal implications. And that is the question of, what is the relationship of the individual to the malacha as a whole? Suppose two people do a malacha. Do the two people together doing a malacha, does that count as a malacha for each one? If it does it require a separate shear for each one? Does it matter whether each one of them would have been able to act alone, that he nonetheless acts in concert, or only in a case where it's required that he act? How about if one of them could have achieved it alone, but nonetheless takes the help of another person who couldn't have achieved it? All these issues are what we need to raise today, and we will raise them without chewing in the background and breakfasting in the background. You put that away. Thank you. Hamotzi kikar l'rshut harabim chayav. Somebody carries out a large cake. Yes, into Rishus Harab. There he is. He's Chayim. Which is obvious, but this is the introduction to the next week. Hotziu shnayim pturim. If two people would carry it out, then they would be potter. But how about if it is so big that one person couldn't have carried out? Lo yachol echad lahotziu v'hotziu shnayim. If, however, one person alone couldn't have carried it out, then two people carry out. In that case, it would be chayiv. And Rabbi Shimon says, even in that case, they would be potter. And we're going to see what the issue is, and it's actually part of the way the Torah defines the concept of asiyah, as we'll see. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, or some say it was Abayi, or some say actually it was a Braita, but it was Tana. The rule is like this, and here's how to define the machloket. It's really more complex than we thought from the Mishnah. Zeyachol v'zeyachol. In a case where two people do something, where each one of them could have achieved that all on his own. Rabbi Meir says, nonetheless, you are chayev. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both say, in that case, you'd be pater. Now, how about in a case where ze'eino yachol v'ze'eino yachol? In that case, Rabbi Yehuda comes around to Rabbi Meir's point of view, that since neither of them would have been able to do this alone, and each one is required for the malacha, in that case, both of them, obviously Rabbi Meir is b'chayev, even if I don't need both people. But in this case, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that where your work is absolutely essential, then you would be chayev. And yet, in this case, Rabbi Shimon will still poter. Now, how about in a case where one of them can do it, and one of them cannot, and you take advantage of the help of the one who couldn't have done it on their own, but you really didn't need that help? Then what would have been the halacha? In that case, we would say that if ze'achol v'ze'eino yachol, that even Rabbi Shimon is moter. So now we've clearly defined three different levels, where your actions are completely unnecessary, and neither one could have done it on their own. There we have only Rabbi Meir that says it's chayav, where both are absolutely required.
Both are chayav in all these cases? No, absolutely not.
Okay. In the first case, then where they're both the same, they're both chayav. In the second case, where I need both of you equally, obviously, both are chayav. And that's true, of course, only Alibi, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon still argues. Where one is absolutely required and the other one is not required, then only one is chayav. Now, we're going to see which one, but obviously it's the one that could alone do it. The other one is only a helper. Gemara will ask, why isn't the helper also chayav? That's something else. Okay, so we have three different cases with three different shitot as they apply to all the cases. And it gradually moves over to all. Starts off with Rabbi Meir alone holding your chayav, moves on to Rabbi Yehuda agreeing with Rabbi Meir that your chayav, moves on to Rabbi Shimon joining Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir that the one who is yachol is chayav. Tanya Nami Yachid, and we have this in the bright as follows. Hamotzi kikar l'rashut harabim chayav. Hotziu shnayim, Rabbi Meir mechayev. And Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends. If it's a case where it's so big that lo yachol echad lahotziyo, and then hotziyo shnayim, then they're both chayim. But if not, I would disagree with Rabbi Meir, and I would say that you're potter. And Rabbi Shimon holds, in any of the above cases, you're potter. Now, just to clarify something, As Tosis points out later, when we're talking about yochol or eino yochol, we're not referring to the theoretical capability of your taking it out alone. We're referring to in the current configuration of how it is being carried. So it's certainly possible to conceive of a case where theoretically I could lift this up and away, put both arms under it, and carry it. However, currently carrying it on the edge with my hand open with crack, somebody else would hold it, and so that's also called eino yochol. So in this format of doing the malacha this way, he's eino yochol. Yeah, exactly. All right. How do we know all of this? And what is it based on? Minani mili. The Tana Rabbanan, it is based, said the Braita, on an analysis of the overall concept of the chiyuv of a korban chatas as it's applied to all sorts of things, not only to Shabbat, and certainly not only to Hotzah on Shabbat. So the case actually is an analysis of the dinim of a korban chatat, where over there it says, v'im nefesh achat techata bishkagani ama'aretz ba'asota achat mimitzvot Hashem asher lo tiasan. Now you'll notice that there's an awful lot of stress here on the individual. And as a matter of fact, the simple meaning is ba'asota. Ba'asota itself is a very dramatic statement, because all you need to say is ba'asota achat mimitzvot Hashem. The very fact that you include in Lashon HaKodesh the object of a verb in the actual verb, instead of saying ba'asot achat, you say ba'asota, especially if you double ba'asota achat, then you are stressing the object, which means ba'asota, the entire thing. Ba'asot et kula, because then the verb itself becomes redefined by its own object. V'lo ha'aset miktsata. So it's only if the asiya includes the entire object. If you did only part of it, then you are pater. Ketzad? Shnayim shayu ochazim b'malgez v'logzin. Let's say that you have two people that are holding a pitchfork, and they are pitchforking. Now, of course, the malgez is a mazleg, and this is one of those words that we often find, bipuchotiot. So when we use it as a three-pronged pitchfork, very common in hell, they use the word malgez. But of course, it's exactly the same word. So what would that be doing? That would be ma'amer, if you're doing this on Shabbat. Or you have two people that are holding a karkir, and they're shoftim, so they're holding that sharp stick that is used to set up the shti, to keep it straight, in the ariga, and they would both be chayev for mesa. Two people are holding a kulmus, and they're writing together. Then they would be chayev for ketiva. Two people are holding a reed, and a reed's pretty easy to move. And together, a motzi l'rishut harabim, and therefore they're going to be over on hotza. Now here we see, we take all the malachas, throwing hotza at the end. You might think, if it wouldn't have been for this pasuk, they yochoyu chayavim. Talmud lomar be'asota ha'oseh et kula v'lo ha'oseh miktsata. However, suppose two people are carrying out an igul shel devela. Now, an igul shel devela is extremely heavy, because you keep putting in fruit and crushing them down, and you know how heavy those fig rings and date rings can become. So over there, you need both people, perhaps, and they carry it into Rishut HaRabim, or they take a long, heavy roof beam, and the Koravot Yel Rishut HaRabim. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im lo yachol echad lahotziyo, lahotziyo shnayim chayavim bivlafturi. If neither of them could have managed it on their own, then they would be chayav. And Rabbi Shimon says, even if neither of them could have done it on their own, they're still pturi. Isn't that the point of saying basota? Yachid sha'asa chayav, shnayim sha'asu piturin? Now, what exactly are they arguing about? Asks the Gemara. The Maikam is looking. The truth is, they're looking at the pasuk in total, not simply at the word ba'asotah, which is the closing and most powerful deal of the relationship of the act to the object, but they're also looking at the opening of the pasuk that keeps stressing the individual. Because what do you mean, inefesh achat ba'asotah? I mean, what do you mean, nefesh achat? Well, obviously, you say if a guy does something, what do you mean, nefesh achat techata? So in other words, what it's saying over here is, look at the whole pasuk. In context, we've got three separate stresses on the individual act. Nefesh, achat, techateh, bishgaga, ba'asota. Says Rabbi Shimon, look, there's three separate miyutim in this case that are stressing the specific. You've got tlat miyut iktiv. Basically, the way to read it is, Nefesh Techata. They would say in Nefesh Techata, that would have been perfectly acceptable, would have been one individual. And then we have an additional stress? Achat Techata? Well, that's a separate stress. An individual Nefesh. Well, obviously, I mean, have you ever seen a double Nefesh? And then Ba'asota Techata. But the Chet involves the entirety of the Malacha. Okay, now, so what do you think we need three separate Miyutim for? Because we can easily conceive of three separate circumstances where we need to deal with the question of the single person or two people. Let's take the most clear-cut, lowest example of two people doing a malacha. And that would be where a malacha consists, by definition, of two parts which are split between the two people. Now, we happen to have a perfect example of that. Guess where? Hotzah, of course. Where Hotzah consists of Akira and Hanatha. So, and that, of course, was the whole opening of the Masechet, wasn't it? The Ani and the Balabayit, seeing the way that the Malacha is split between two individuals. That was a classic case which neither is Chayev. That's a given, and nobody holds your Chayev in that case, even Rebbe Meir. So if one person does the Akira and the other person does the Hanatha, that is the most obvious thing that we need to exclude. So one of these miyutim is b'mayit zeh oker v'zeminia, but you wouldn't know that if two people are involved in doing the entire malacha, they would be potters. You have two people that are doing the akira, two people that are doing the malacha together, there'd be no indication that that's potter because they both did the entire malacha. Obviously, if I didn't complete the malacha, I could say, okay, even though I had another person helping me, I understand that I need to look at my share of the malacha. I don't look at the entirety of the malacha being completed between us. But what about a case where both of them do the entire thing? Oh, that's the next one. The next one comes to tell me, and again, we always take the smallest bit of information. And we can't jump all the way to the end. That's tafasta merubalo tafasta. What is the next case that I would say you're patra? Well, the next case is in a case where either party could have done it on their own. So chad lemuti zeyachol v'zeyachol, and here they for some reason get together to do something where I could say either, as Rashi puts it, well, that's not the way that you do this malacha. Or, I could say, as the Ritva says it, that's not the way you do this malacha. In other words, a malacha involves the entirety of your own involvement in it. It's not the question of how the malacha is defined. It's the question of how your asiya is defined. And over here, your asiya is lackadaisical because it's using somebody else. You're not putting your heart into it. And that's part of the nature of the malacha Shabbat. So since Zeyachov is Zeyachov and both of them instead choose this alternative way, that is exactly what the next is coming to be Mamayat. But then we still have the third miyut. And this is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's word. Yes, but even in a case, that third miyut is coming to tell me, Chad l'me'ute, even in the cases where you claim, but since both of you are entirely necessary, and therefore both of you did do whatever needed to be done, furthermore, with all that you could possibly have put into it, and that covers all of our bases, to the entire thing, what needed to be done, and the way in which it needed to be done, so then you would both be chayav. But comes along the pasuk to say, no, you didn't. You're a potter, because it's not one person. And by definition, the Torah is only b'chayav, an individual, not shutafim. And therefore, that last one comes to be mamayit, according to Rabbi Shimon, even zeino yachov zeino yachov. So how does Rabbi Yehuda get away with saying, no, I don't agree with that third one? Obviously, he has to have another use for the third miyut. What is that use? Well, we have a machloket in Huriot about what the relationship is of an individual to the psak beit din. If a beit din tells you that something is mutar, and you rely on the beit din and you do it, is that the responsibility of the beit din or is that the responsibility of the individual? Turns out they're wrong. So that's a machloket. Whether someone acting according to beit din is considered to be an ones in his potter, or whether, no, he's an idiot. Why is he an idiot? What is his shogeg? Says the Gemara, shogeg is he thinks you're allowed to rely on Beit Din. You can't rely on Beit Din. You're always taking your chance. If you know better, then you better find out better. So that's called a shogeg. He'd be chayav a chatat. Now that's a machloket. The third biyut is dealing not with the relationship of the individual to the act, but the relationship of the individual to the heter of the act in terms of Beit Din. Therefore, he only has two miyutim, one to be mamayit. The one is Oker, one is Miniyak, where you did only half the Malacha. One to be Mimayat, where you did the entire Malacha together with somebody else, when neither of you necessarily required the other. But in a case where you both are needed, that's a classic Malacha. There's nothing here in which the Torah is saying, no, no, we're only looking at individuals. It doesn't say that. It only talks about the way to do a Malacha. V'chad. And the last one that we're using was Lamute Yochi Cha'asa'a B'hora'at Beitin, that if an individual relies on Beitin to do something, he's not included in the Chiyav of Chatat. And what does Rabbi Shimon, why does he not need it for that? Because he holds, Rabbi Shimon holds, Yochi Cha'asa'a B'hora'at Beitin is indeed Chayav, and therefore this is not a needed for that, because we don't hold it that, so I need it for being Mamayit, even in the case of Zeino Yochol, V'Zeino Yochol. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, apparently doesn't hold of two of these, right? Because he's mamayet all cases except Zeoker v'Zeminiyach, which is the opening Mishnah in our Masechet. But in any case, even if the individuals would have been able to do the entire Malacha on their own, we just found that Rabbi Meir says Yerchayim. So that means he's got to X out another one of these diyukim. What does he do with this diyuk? Says Rabbi Meir, I don't do anything with the diyuk. I don't believe that there is a diyuk. Because nefesh achat is a typical way of referring to an individual. And we don't analyze that as being two separate things. Nefesh techata, achat techata, that's your analysis. Where does it say that? Miktiv, nefesh techata, achat techata, basota techata, it's a good try. You didn't get it past me. We don't have tremiyote ktivet. One stresses the individual, one stresses the entirety of the malach. That's all. One is to be by itself, kerbezeminiach, indeed. The entirety of the malacha needs to be done. If you only do half of the malacha, then you didn't do the malacha. That's our Mishnah with which we begin the discussion of the Ani and the Balabayat and the nature of Otsa'ah. And the other one, which stresses the individual and his own responsibility to the chait, that's coming to Bememayat, Yochi Cha'asa'ah, Bohra'at Beitin. And now everything fits in just fine. Okay, now let's go back to the other case, which we conveniently left out here, because earlier we said that there is a level in which all would be agreed that you are chayev, and even Rabbi Shimon would have thrown in his lot with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and he would have said, but in that case I agree, even though two people were involved, that only one of them is chayev. And that was the case, Omar Mar, you said before, that in a case where one individual would have been able to do it, and one individual would not have been able to do it, then even Rabbi Shimon agrees that you're chayev. Now, I just want to talk this out. When you say one of them is chayev, okay? Obviously, the basis of the understanding that Rabbi Shimon would be made here is that the presence of the other one is so negligible that it doesn't serve as a factor to consider. We view the one who is incapable of doing a look on himself as just not being there at all. Now, in order for me to attack that assumption, I'm going to talk out. When you say one is chayev, which one do you mean is chayev? So you said that zeyachov v'zeino yachov, chayni nayomi chayev. Which one are you saying is chayev? Obviously, the one who is yachov. I mean, if it's the one who's eino yachov, what is he doing? He didn't do the malacha. Amalei Rav Amnuna, but isn't that the problem? I mean, because he is helping, isn't he? So why would we not be Mechayev also the helper? And of course, if we're going to be Mechayev also the helper, then we're undermining the entire argument that Rabbi Shimon would agree. If the helper is present, then Rabbi Shimon says it's not included with the three miyutim, the ba'asotah, the nefesh of it. Most conveniently, the ba'asotah. I must point out that the language of the ba'asotah is very, very different than the language of the individual. The ba'asotah in its language, and Tosis is troubled by this, in its language, ba'asota defines the malacha, not the individual. In which case, it ought to be the thing that we're most focused on when we say ze'oker v'zeminia, because you didn't do it. It is akira and hanocha, not akira and not hanocha. Why then do we use ba'asota to be an indication of yochi shasa v'lo shnayim shasa, even though they both did the entire thing? Because the Tosis says it's more a matter of convenience, referring to the last part of the pasuk, as a Reb Kivenger, very different ways of understanding this. So get later on, we'll just take Kipshuta. We're taking one that says very clearly, you got to do the whole malacha yourself. Okay. In any event, in this case, you're obviously telling me that according to Rabbi Shimon, we fully totally disregard the individual who is helping. Apparently, because helping is meaningless for the same reason that you're saying the helper is not chayev. So in other words, the same way that Rabbi Yehuda, and so they all have to agree, only one is chayev, you're saying, and that one is the guy who could have done it on his own. In this case, we're saying that the helper, ain bo mamash. Omar Lein is saying, yeah, indeed, ain bo mamash. That's the whole point. When you're only helping, and the other guy's doing it on his own, then you're not doing anything. So we can completely ignore you. Amar Zvid Mishpei Rava, that concept, actually, we find in various Mishnayot, in various areas, and they all add up to the idea that when something is playing a minor role in the entire picture of what's being achieved, it's ignored. And I'll show you a classic case from a Mishnah in Zavi. We have a Zav with Yosheva Gabeh Hamita. Now, the din is, of course, that anything under the Zav is Metame, the Midrash, does not require any kind of context. Suppose you put, under each leg of the bed, you put a talit. Then, since each leg of the bed is required, the bed can't really be a bed and stand if it only has three legs. So, therefore, all four talitot are tameot. So, fizio sheva gabe amita, arba talitot tachat ragle amita, they're all tameot, because this would be a classic example of zeino yachov, zeino yachov. So, for all intents and purposes, each leg is absolutely required, and therefore each leg is providing a midras of the zav. Later on, we're going to discuss why don't you need a shear of a full zav for each leg. That's a different issue, which we'll talk about when we get to the shear question. Now, how about, according to Rabbi Shimon Shita, who says over here that when it comes to doing the Isser, it needs to be that you do it entirely. Oh, how do you like that, Rabbi Shimon? Indeed, is a bit higher over there also. So you see that this is a consistent concept that is applied, even not Magabe Isser, but this is Rabbi Shimon Lashita. See, this is the way that Rashi learns it. It's completely involved. In Zeino Yachov, Zeino Yachov, even that is considered to only be a Misayeah. In other words, a absolutely essential Misayeah is nonetheless but a Misayeah, because it does not achieve the end on his own. So that's the simple way of understanding the Machlokes Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Meir, reflected here in the dinam of the Tuma of the Talitot underneath the bed feet. You're looking very confused and obviously are troubled. Even your hair is standing on edge. Yeah. All right, let's see whether it adds up then, if you can't articulate what's bothering you right now. Hayah, how about in a case where you are riding an animal? You're okay, vagabe behema. This Zav is riding an animal. Now, the difference between an animal and a bed is that an animal definitely can stand on three legs, right? So, because it balances itself on the three legs, which a bed somehow has a tendency of not being a very dynamic system, it just sort of collapses. So, an animal, on the other hand, if you had arba talitot beneath raglei habehima, then they are tahorot. Because actually, this animal could have stood only on three legs, and therefore we look at each one of the legs as being the unnecessary leg. Now, this would be according to Reb Yehuda. Each one of those legs, therefore, is a not required misayeah, because we could look at any one of these legs and say, oh, we could chop you off and you'd still be able to stand. And therefore, you're nothing but a misayeah. And therefore, they're all tahorot. Okay, that's interesting. So, the question is, I ask you, shall we not say that you're at least helping when the animal is standing? It must be because the Mishnah is assuming that Misayeya alone is irrelevant and therefore cannot be Matami. So Misayeya ain't bo mamash. Omri, you're to be discarded. Now, one moment. That's not much of a proof to me. I could look at it like this. Perhaps we should take very seriously what it is that a Misayeya does, but here it's very different because an animal actually has to lift up one of its legs. How else is it going to walk? If you analyze its gait, it lifts up one leg entirely, in which case we can't even look at it as a misayeah, because each one of these legs is meant not to be here at all under some circumstances, correct? But a normal misayeah perhaps is considered to be valuable. Since over here in walk, says the Gemara, that shouldn't help them. Why? Because when the animal walks, the whole point of a walk is to change the leg that it's being okra from the ground. We have a similar case by Zivot. Where is that? A Zav who is sleeping across various things, none of which support him entirely. But as he rolls around in his sleep, they do support him in series, even though it's not in parallel. So, in that case, the halacha is that all are tamei, and that should be the case of the animal also, unless a misayeya in bo mamash. Because we're going to tell me that it's simply because of the akira. Given the zinin akraha, then let it be lahavike zav hamitapech. Let it be like a zav who's twisting around in his sleep. Minotnam zav shayamutal al chamisha saf salim al chamisha pundaot le orchan tmeim. So if he is lying on five things, he's not asleep, and it's lengthwise, then he's tamei. But if it's widthwise, then none of them are supporting him really. So l'rakavan, they're tahorim. You know, one part is supporting his tummy, another part is supporting his leg. That's not considered to be supportive. However, if he goes to sleep, then since he twists and turns, where it's a suffix mitapech aleihem, then it is considered to be tameim. Point out Rishonim, even Rishut Rabim, that's not a standard suffix. It's that we say this is considered to be the modality of sleeping, and therefore must be, because we say Elalav. The only reason why over here it would be tar by the animal and not be the same as the Zav is because it's a Messiah, as opposed to the case of the Zav where he may flip onto them entirely. And that's exactly what we were trying to prove, as opposed to the Cartesian Rebutami Descartes, that his attempt to disprove our proof. Elalav is from the Amrinan, Messiah in Bamamash. Omer of Papi, Bishmeda Rava. I can also bring another example. We don't have to get into all this Cartesian stuff. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hasus Mitame Biyada, a Zav who is riding on a horse, and you have a talit beneath the hands of the Sus, meaning the forelegs of the Sus, it's Tame, but a talit under the rear legs of the Sus, it's Tahar. Why is that? Because the horse basically puts most of its weight on its forelegs. On the other hand, in the same case where a Zav is riding a Chamor, there it would be Metame al Raglav. And that's because Mishenet Asus al Yadav and Chamor al Raglav. Now, does this make sense? What do I care where his Mishenet is? What? I mean, he certainly can't stand very long on his front two legs, the horse, nor can the Chamor stand very long on its rear legs. That's certainly Misayea. Look at Misayea Bahari Adadi. Must be because we're taking for granted the Misayea in Bomamash. Ravashi says, I have another indication from the Mishnah of Ananamitanina. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, a Kohen who is doing Avoda in the Beit HaMikdash, and he is wrongly standing partially on a chatzitza to the floor. So one leg is on the floor, and his other cold toesies he puts on top of a kli, or perhaps on top of an even. But whatever it is, it's not the floor. So where you have a chatzitza on one leg, ro'im, and we have to see, would he be able to stand if we removed the tozi warmer? So kol shilu yinatela tli, akli, or tinatela evan, and he would be able to, here we go, it's Parnea's neighborhood, yokola avod, aragoa chat, avodato kishera, his avodah is kosher. Parnea often uses this little trick to try to warm up. The imlav avodato psula. But if he wouldn't be able to stand, his avodah is pasanal. I mean, surely, when he is standing on his one leg, I mean, he couldn't keep that up a long time. I mean, he's at least being helped along in his balance by the leg that's sitting on top of the kli, standing on the kli, or standing on the stone, right? So why isn't it called a misayeya? If it's misayeya ba'adi adadi, then we should view him as not being in the Beit HaMikdash, direct contact with the floor, echatzitza pasos ve'avoda. La mishum de'amrin misayeya and bo'mamach, the same idea. Just helping is not really important. Om Ravina, I'll bring you another raya. A Kohen is makabel a dam in his right hand, which is correct. However, he's really feeling tired today. That dam is awfully heavy, and so he takes his left hand to support his right hand. Now he's being misayea b'smol. His avodah is kosher. Why? Why don't we say that he's helped along by yad smol, which is also for avodah? La mishum de dam in a misayea b'smol mamash. Shema mina, we don't have to worry about that. That explains that fourth case, the additional case, Zeyachov Zeinoyachov, as Misayea in Bomamash. Omar Mar, now you said before that in a case where both would be able to do it, Rabbi Meir is Mechayev. Now, what I would like to know is, does that mean that each is considered to have done the Malacha in its entirety? Or does it mean that each one is considered to have done his Malacha? Now, the difference would be, do I need a separate shear for each one of them? In other words, if we're looking at them, each one separately, and each one has done a malacha, then I need a shear for each one. If I consider them to each have done this malacha, then it's enough to have a shear for one. So, be'inan shi'ur lezeh v'shi'ur lezeh, or is shi'ur achad v'kulam sufficient? Rav Chista v'Rav Nuna argue this point. Chad amar shi'ur lezeh v'shi'ur lezeh, Well, I'll bring you a raya. It's a strange thing to say. Well, you haven't said anything. I mean, you didn't make a commitment to say Afanana Mitanina. You should just say Tashma. Okay, but in any event, here's where I think we can look to an answer. We had the case before where you've got one zav sitting on a bed with four legs. We say all four legs are metame a talit because the bed could not stand on three legs. But would we not need four zavim to be sitting on the bed to be metame one per leg? But since it says over there only one zav, I mean, why? Must be because the way that we look at a case where everything is acting in concert is that the entire thing is acting in concert. It's holistic. And each one of the legs is batami as if the zav is there. Same thing, therefore, should be true about the malacha. Each one of the individuals is doing the malacha with one shiur. I too can bring you a riot to this. A deer walks into a house. Now, one guy comes along and locks the door. So we say, you're chayiv because that's an act of tzedah. Suppose two people come along and lock the door. They're potter because I don't need two people to turn a key. But suppose we have a case where you have a heavy bolt that is lifted up with two people and put down over the door to prevent the tzvi from coming out. Lo yachol, in a case where lo yachol chad linol, and there two people come along and there are no el. You're chayav, but wait! That's all very nice to say they both participated in tzedat tzvi. You've all again heard the sound of a tzvi being trapped. But has anybody heard the sound of a half a tzvi being trapped? No! Why don't we need a tzvi for each person? Obviously, because the two people have together done the Malachet Seidah, and therefore each one did Malachet Seidah. One shiur. Om Ravina, I'll bring you another raya. You have shutafim that steal. And then not only do they steal, they also slaughter the sheep that they stole. Now, the din is, of course, that in a case where you're going to shor or tzvachol mecharo, you are chayev arba v'chamisha. It says that they're chayev. But there's only one animal. Why don't we require a shir tvichalazeh and a shir tvichalazeh? Must be because they're both considered to have been involved in this act. And shir echad v'chulam. Says Rav Ashi, well, I've got another proof. Getting back to Hotzah again, it says in the Mishnah that shnayim, shotziu kaneh shel gardi chayavim. Two people who take out a weaver's pole stick. Now, what this is used for, of course, is throwing the shuttle. And they'd be chayav. Why are they chayav? Why don't we need a shear of otzah for each one? The shear of otzah being sufficient, as we said, energy to cook that bitzat tarnagolet. So, must be mishum darmin and shear echad l'kulam. Omele ravach, brede rov alarvashi, I don't understand. How can you prove from that case that there wasn't a shira? Maybe there's enough energy to cook two eggs. What kind of proof is that? So he said to him, you silly boy, why would it say a kone in the garden? Huh? Is that a little ridiculous? Say two people took out a kone. And then you could come up with, oh, it was a very big kone, a very energy-rich kone, whatever you like to say. But to talk about a kone in the garden is a little silly, unless there's a specific meaning to it. Now, what would be the meaning in taking out a kone in the garden? Obviously, a kone de garde, its primary purpose is not fuel. That's like saying, taking out a $5 bill is to burn and light my cigar. I'm taking out a kone of a garde in order to be able to do weaving with it. So then, by definition, it's only enough for one weaver. Who cares what its energy content is? In kele shemina kone de alma, maishna de garde, why mention the weavers? Well, he said, maybe the point is that the chiddush in the kone de garde is to tell me that if you want to weave two handkerchiefs at the same time, this guy's really into doing things with class, okay? So what he does is, you set up two different sets of batenirin, different colored wool and so on, or I guess cotton's better for handkerchiefs, or this might be a tablecloth. You set them up, and then what you're going to do is, boom, you can throw this through both at the same time. In which case, you're weaving two completely different sets at the same time. And that's right, this kind of regarding, to tell me that that's considered to be as well a shear for both. Kedei la'arog ma'palazeh. U'kedei la'arog ma'palazeh. So therefore, we don't see that Rav Ashi responded, silly boy, to that one. So apparently, he was stumped. We're going to have to agree that actually Rav Acha Bereda Rava had stumped Rav Ashi, and that means we can't include this in the list of our rayas that you can get along with one sheer. This one, we'll have to ignore. Tani Tanaka made Rav Nachman, Shnayim Shotziu Kanashal Gardi Piturin, but Rabbi Shimon is Mechayev. Rav Nachman looked at him like he was crazy. Klap Elia, where are you going? If anything, it's the opposite. Rabbi Shimon is the one who's always Potter, because he had all three cases, and he's Potter. And Tosis points out, it would have to be the Chiddush over here, should be that Ema, as it should say in the Gemara, as it says in the Gemara, should have said Rabbi Shimon Potter, but the only reason Rabbi Shimon would be Potter would be in the case that Zeino Yochol v'Zeino Yochol, and that's the Chiddush. That we have a machlokes of Zeino Yochol v'Zeino Yochol. So there we would have a machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying even so. Your Chayim, Rabbi Shimon is saying even so, your Potter. Rabbi Shimon still is poter. Zeyachol v'zeinoyachol, and divyachol chayav, as we'll see, because we could completely ignore the one who wouldn't have been able to do it because he's not achieving anything. Now, tainam yachi, hamotziki kalu shetarabim chayav, otziu shnayim, Rabbi Meir mechayav, Rabbi Yudam, Rabbi Loyachol echad lotziu, otziu shnayim chayavim, v'imlav turim, and Rabbi Shimon is poter in all of the above cases. Minonim yachi. The Tana Rabbanu of the Pasuk says, "Basota chat asota means oset kula, lo oset miktzata ketzat." Shnayim shayu ochazim bebalgeiz velogzim, bekirkar veshoftim bekulmus bekotvim bekonen v'tzilu shidorav. Yocho yu chayavim tamud lomar baasota only oset kula velo oset miktzata. Beigul shel devela v'tzilu shidorav. Bekorah otzilu shidorav, which is very heavy. There, Rabbi Yehuda Amirim lo yachol echad lotzio, v'tzio shlayim chayavim, v'imlav peturim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, even in that case, alfa pishal lo yachol echad lotzio, v'tzio shlayim peturim, that's the point of saying basulta. Yachid sha'asa'a chayav, shlayim sha'asu'u peturim. Now, b'may kamif again, b'hai krav. Rabbi Shimon says, let's look at that pasuk in its entirety. And what we have is slatamiyutik tivit. Nefesh techata, achat techata, basota techata. Chadamuti zeo kervazeminiak, which is the most obvious level of not doing a full malacha. Chadamuti zeyachov zeyachol. Chadamuti zeynoyachov zeynoyachol. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're missing one. Because I need one to tell me the new din of a yochid and beit din. So read it like this. Zeo kervazeminiach is mute A. Chadamuti zeyachol vezeyachol. But the third one that you wanted to extend to zeynoyachol vezeynoyachol actually comes to deal with yochid shasaborat beit din. And Rabbi Shimon, however, says, no. A yochid shaseba orat beidin is actually chayav. Now, again, there's some inversion of the shitot in Masechet Horiot, but we won't deal with this. Rabbi Meir, miktiv nefesh techata, achat techata, basota techata, there's only tremiutik tifei, because nefesh echat is the norm. So chad lemote zeoker vezeminiach, vechad lemote yochid shaseba orat beidin. Which one are you saying is chayav? Omar of Chizwa, well, obviously, Zeyachol. I mean, the one that's Zeyachol isn't doing anything. Omar Le'ev Rav Amnuna, what do you mean he isn't doing anything? Don't you have to take into consideration to come and say Ye'abade? Omar Le'ev, that's the whole point. We say Ye'ah in Bomamash, which is the only reason Rav Shimon is made. Omar of Zvid, we should Rav Afana Namit Nina, that we say Ye'ah in Bomamash. In a case of Ezov, who's Yosheva Gabe Amita, and you have Arba Talitot Tachat Ragle Amita, all four Tmeot, because Amita Inayakolala Madav Shalosh. But Rabbi Shimon is matir even in that case, just as he does by Shabbat. Over there, they're Torah. What good is Lamod HaShalosh? It's not enough of a reason. The fourth one is being Misayea. Must be because Misayea Bo Mamash. Omer of Yerim Midiskar. Well, maybe that case is different. Maybe normally they Misayea Yesh Bo Mamash. Mashenka in the case of a year is different because an animal lifts up its leg completely without any CUL whatsoever, and therefore in walking, since it's akra legamri, given the zimnan akra hof, the zimnan akra has, the Gemara would still be the equivalent of a zava mitapech, milotanan zav, shayamutala chamisha safsalim, agabe chamisha pundaot, if it's l'orchan tmeim, if he's l'rochvan and he's awake, they're taurim, but if he goes to sleep, and it's a suffix, is mitapech aleim tmeim, so that means that something that's done in series is considered to be completely supported. Now, let me show you. I'm in Bob Mamash, as we originally told you. Omer of Papi Mishmei the Rava Afanan Nami Tanina. Rabbi Yossi Omer Asus Metamei Hayadav Achamor Metamei Haraglav. She Mishenet Asus Hayadav and Mishenet Achamor Haraglav. But certainly, I mean, Misayeya with his other 2 feet, Misayeya Bahadi Adadi must be Mishum Damrin. Misayeya Bo Mamash. Omer of Ashi Afanan Nami Tanina. Rabbi Elazar Omer Raglo Achata Lakli of a Kohen who's doing Yavoda. Raglo Achata Laritzpa. Raglo Achata How come isn't he having a Misayeya with his Yad small Pasala about Hadadim? Again, Lav Mishum Damrina, Misayeya in Bo Mamash. Once again, Shema Amina. Now, you said that a little bit of Rabbi Meir is Zeyachov is Zeyachol, Rabbi Meir is Mechayev. But how does that work, Yiboylo? Do we still require a shiur lezev, a shiur lezev, each one did a milacha, or each one did this milacha, and we need shiur achat becholam? Rav Chista, Rav Amnuna argue, chad omer, we require shiur lezev, a shiur lezev, v'chad omer, shiur achat, lekulan, amr of papa mishveta, rav afanar nami tanina, haya yoshev agave amita, ve'arbat alitot tachat arba ragle amita tmeot, mipnei she'ina yechola la'amoda al shalosh, but still, we should require a shira ziva lezeh and a shira ziva lezeh. Obviously, it's mishum dermin and shira kad lecholam. Amrav Nachman Yitzchak Chavanan nami tanina. Tzvi shenichnas habayit v'na'al achat b'fanav chayav. Nalu shnayim b'turim. But in a case where the only way to lock the doors with a heavy beam, which lo yachol achad l'inov v'nalu shnayim, so then they're both chayav. But what about the shira? You can't be tzara half a tzvi, can you? So don't we need a shiur tzedel as ever shiur tzedel as that? Unless it's because we should not mean a shiur achad l'kulam. Omer v'ina afanana mitinina. Hashutavim sheganvu utvachu. Chayavim? Why? We should need a shiur tzedel as that, shiur tzedel as that. Must be because Amrina Chirachat Lakulam. Omer v'ashi afanana mitinina. Shnayim shotziu kona shagardi. Chayavim? Why don't we say you need a shear of a Beitzakala Lazer and a shear of Beitzakala Lazer? Mishum Damrina Shirach of the Kulam. Omele Ravach, Bere the Ravel Ravashi. Maybe you have that shear. Dilmanit Beitzakala. Actually, I said it wrong because he didn't say Beitzakala. He says you need a shear Lazer, a shear Lazer. Ask Ravach, Bere the Ravel Ravashi. Maybe you do. Maybe you have enough energy in it. Kedel Lavasha, Beitzakala Lazer, Beitzakala Lazer. Ah, because in Cain, why did you say a Kana Shogarde? Talk about a Kana. The only reason you're talking about a Kana Shogarde is because you can only weave one thing at a time. Well, maybe not. Maybe you weave 2 things. Then whether you pay enough that it's so long, you can use it to flip through 2 separate tablecloths being woven on 2 separate sets of batenirin. So, Kadeh La Rog Ma Palazeva, Kadeh La Rog Ma Palazeva. So from this one, there's no right. That's more like it.
So today's dot will be very clear on your computer monitor. Take a look on your tsag. There you go. And the tsag is monitor.
Tsag is monitor?
A tsag is a computer monitor. Lot C means to present. Yes, and we were up to the understanding of the basis of the model. It was a three-way machlokas between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. We recall Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if Shnehem are Motzi Kikar, which is a Rabbin, you would be potter unless it was a case of Lo Yachol Echad Motzio Votzio Shnehem. So, in other words, in the Mishnah, we don't notice Rabbi Meir Shita yet. In the Mishnah, we just have a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, who's a Tanakama, and Rabbi Shimon patters even with Zeh no Yachol, Zeh no Yachol. Rabbi Meir, it turns out in the Gemara, brings the Brice on that Rabbi Meir is Machayev, even if Zeh Yachol, Zeh Yachol. So, we have really a machlokas in the extremes here. There's a Shita that holds Yachayev, even Zeh Yachol, Zeh Yachol, which we say, I'm not really doing anything, I've done it myself. And nonetheless, you're fired. That's Rabbi Meir. There's a shita that holds your potter, even if Zay no Yachov, Zay no Yachov, we absolutely need you to do it. And that's Rabbi Shimon. And now we have the middle shita, which is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends if Zay Yachov, Zay Yachov, then indeed he didn't do anything. So that was necessary. So you're not fired. But if Zay no Yachov, Zay no Yachov, then you would be fired. That's the middle shita. What was the basis of this machlokas that we didn't get to yesterday? So seven lines down from the top, the Gemara asks, who am I coming for you? What exactly are we arguing here? We're arguing in the pasuk that we keep bringing, we only bring one word of the pasuk, ba'asotah. And Tosfos is indeed concerned, why do we bring that word? He says, maybe it's because it's the closing word, it's the last word. But the truth is that it's the entire pasuk we're arguing. Ve'im nefesh achat techeta bishgaga ba'amaretz ba'asotah. Take a look and how that pasuk appears to be zeroing in on a very specific thing. Nefesh. Achaz. I mean, that doesn't have to be nefesh achaz. Nefesh is always achaz. Nefesh, first of all, an individual. Achaz, a specific individual. The asota, when it does this specific thing. So it's a pasuk keeps stressing the idea of specificity. So the etzem, we have over here three separate miyutim. Rabbi Shimon Savar, it's a lot of miyutim keeping. We have to read it like this. We're defining the chait. So we have the nefesh who is techata, the achat who is techata, the ba'asota is the act of the techata. We have three different ways of being mamayat here. Now remember that yesterday we went through actually four different levels that require miyut. Because we said, look, you can talk about this thing that appears to be the least meaningful of all, which is where one person does an akira, and the other person does not know, in which case nobody did the malach. Okay, that's the most reasonable thing to exclude. So it would seem, I mean, we'll see there may be alternatives. But so it would seem, that's the easiest thing to exclude, right? Nobody did the malach, no one did. Understand, you can't put together the ma'isim of two different people when there's nothing that's b'chaber done particularly. So that's the case in our Mishnah, the Ani, the Balabai, neither of them did it. But understand, that's the most reasonable thing to be ma'isim. Then we have a shaila in which two people do the malach. Each one does literally half of the shir. One writes one letter, and one writes another letter. There you have the entire malacha that was done. At least each person was Isaac in the malacha. They only were mesayeya la'adari, so to speak, in filling up the shir. Okay. Then we have the question of a case where zeyachol v'zeyachol. There's two people that could have done it on their own. What they're doing is a strange way of doing it, but two people are doing what one person could do. And then finally, on top, we have Zayin Oyachov, Zayin Oyachov, which is the least reasonable thing to throw out. Now, because we understand that, the first thing that strikes us is, wait a second, we only have three minutes in here. We couldn't possibly be mired all of those cases to allow room for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is talking in all of the above cases, right? Now, how could you pot in all of the above cases with only three minutes? So obviously, one of those cases, he holds, doesn't need a minute. And with that, we're going to have to see, okay, why that's true, why the Gemara takes for granted one of those cases. Let's see what the three cases are that he's mamayit from the three miyut. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, we have three miyut here. We have the nefesh techata, the achas techata, the basata techata. Okay. The most reasonable thing to be mamayit, the first one, I've always said one, I would say, that's going to be mamayit ze'oker v'zeminiyah, because neither of them did the malach. The next one will be mamayit ze'yachov v'ze'yachov. But the thing which I would least think on my own to be mamayit, where Zeh Eino Yachov, Zeh Eino Yachov, where both of them are critical for the achievement of the malacha, even that the third posik is coming to be memayit, which case was left out that apparently didn't need a miyad. Strangely enough, no, the case of zekosev osachas was zekosev osachas, right? That's the only case that he didn't mention of the four that we said was reasonable. And it's interesting that Tosfos says the reason for this must be that the Gemara is not looking at it the way we're looking at it. The Gemara has a very interesting way of looking at it. The Gemara is assuming that if neither person did the malacha, so I only wrote one os, and the other guy wrote one os, I don't even need a pasuk to talk about the pasuk. Of course you're pasuk, you're pasuk machatzis shir. I mean, how would I think that somebody else's shir is part of my shir? What's going to be in the tzara of artus shir? I don't need a pasuk for that, right? I understand, but I thought like the case of Zehokev Vezeminiyah is even less than that. We said the lowest possible case is Zehokev Vezeminiyah. And yet for that we do need a pasuk. Why is that reasonable we do need a pasuk? Says Tosfos a beautiful svara. But the Gemara's havamina was that the Akira and HaMelcha are essentially conditions in the Malacha. But they're not the Malacha. The Malacha is the moving it from one Rishis to the other. The only thing is, you're not Chayiv by moving from one Rishis to the other. If the Chayivitz wasn't Munach in the first Rishis, and if the Chayivitz isn't Munach in the second Rishis. But it's not that the act of the Akira HaMelcha is part of the Hotzah. So therefore, the fact that it was finished, that's like a Maisa Kof Bialm, essentially. Just logistically, somebody else set it down. So now that condition was fulfilled. But who did the malacha? The guy who took it from one Rishis to the other. He did the malacha. It's fascinating. We should come to this issue only 90 pages into the Masechta. We've been talking about it so the whole time. But I mean, this is a very fundamental question.
And in the moving of Rishis, both of them were doing it together. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that and that brother were both carrying the kicker. Right. So therefore, the first pasuk is more needed to tell me that that's not the case than to tell me that you've got a chatzi shir that somehow would be mitzvah, which I can know on my own. So Tosfos explains the sukkah. So it has vast implications to the whole din of Hutzah. Okay, that's Rabbi Shimon's approach. So l'chora, Rabbi Shimon is right. He's got three miyutim. How is it that Rabbi Yehuda ignores his additional miyut and says that, well, I mean, the case where Zayin Oyachol v'Zayin Oyachol, I mean, you can't exclude that case. We don't have a miyut for that case. But he doesn't like one of these miyutim. What's his problem? Says, Rabbi Yehuda, no, I like your miyutim. They're beautiful miyutim. We appreciate your miyutim. There's only one problem. There's another case that requires the miyut before the case that you're using it for. You're using it for Zayin Oyachol v'Zayin Oyachol. I think that's highly unlikely. Because we've got another thing that needs to be addressed. And what is that? Remember, this pasuk is not talking about Shabbos. This pasuk is talking about the nature of the chiyuv of a carbon. If I was told by Beis Din that it is this type of fat is absolutely kosher, turns out it's chaylev. And Beis Din fesses up that they made a big mistake and they're passing wrong. Actually, it was chaylev. What happens to the people that ate the chaylev with that big hatcher of Beis Din? This is the big shayla. Everybody always says, it's on my shoulders. What happens if it's Beis Din's shoulders? Do you have to bring the carbon, or does Beis Din have to bring the carbon? Now, we know where it was rolled by the seaboard with all the stuff. All the stuff was raised, but over there. The Beis Din brings the carbon for everybody. But how about what Beis Din isn't bringing the carbon? Because Robot Seaboard didn't follow them. And some poor guy followed the Beis Din. He didn't know. So there, in fact, we have a machlokas. Is a yofi that's also Baraz Beis Din? Is he considered to be a shogay? Because you should know better. All the Gdele Terah didn't know better, so... It means that you can't know better. You have a responsibility to know what the din is. So you have to bring a carbon. That's called an anus. Or, and of course, this has vast implications in general, human responsibility expectations and the question of the infallibility of the vote. Is there an Indian of following along, even though you know something is wrong? Or do we say, in such a case, a yoshi cannot be expected to suspect that all of the Sanhedrin is wrong, and therefore he's begetter an onus. Even where it wasn't Robot Zero that did it. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, I hold that such a person is indeed Potter. How do we know that he's Potter? Because that's what the Pasuk is coming to tell me. You have to be a Nefesh Atas, that's Osef Ishkata. But if the Sanhedrin is telling you that, it's not your individual determination that made you do this. That's considered to be essentially an onus. You're not included in the Pasuk here. in which case I use up one of the miyutim to tell me that case, that a yofi who did it, but Ra's Bezid is potter. Therefore, I'm left with one miyut less. If I don't have that miyut, the case that I don't exclude is the Zayin or Yafo. Zayin or Yafo, which was the least likely to succeed.
Is that reasonable to say, don't pass it to miyut? I will wait here, but wait there.
Yeah. Because the issue, remember, we're taking the pasuk a little bit out of context. We're applying it to malachas of Shabbos and so on. The pasuk is giving you the various gedorim of what constitutes shkoga. It's actually very reasonable that the pasuk would be profoundly concerned about the nature of shkoga more than the nature of the malacha. So the asota is indeed the way that I do it. But the nefesh is the awareness issue. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, well, I sure don't need a pasuk to be my bed. You know why? Because I'll be chayim, that's why. So I'm not going to use the pasuk to tell me something that's simply not the halacha. Yofi trusta avorad beidin chayav. So I'm not going to be reminded from the pasuk. The way I was mekabel the halacha. Tosfos, yeah. Tosfos says this is a mistake. The gears that we have is a mistake because the Gemara says clearly in Hurias that actually Rabbi Shimon holds that yofi trusta avorad beidin is potter and that he's an honest. Therefore, the other gears to which Tosfos brings is Rabbi Shimon holds. It's not based on a pasuk. It's based on an analysis of what the difference is between shoging and onus. Where someone didn't think that he needed to think, and it was taken off of his head, that's an onus. It's saying somebody owed a gun to you. It's not your mindset. So over here, you're acting out Bezdin's thinking, not your own thinking. And therefore, you're not even called a shoging. But that's as far as I mean, a pasuk for them. So therefore, they're not arguing as to what the din is. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yofi Chassah, they're arguing whether you need a beard for it. And Rabbi Meir, how does Rabbi Meir get away with it? Because even if he holds that you do need a plus, if you tell me the din of Ra's Bezdin, you still have two other miyutim. One of those miyutim should have been the Maya, the case of Zayachol v'Zayachol. And yet Rabbi Meir insisted Zayachol v'Zayachol is Chayef. How do we explain that? Says Rabbi Meir, well, you made yourself too many miyutim, my dear friend. Because, look, it doesn't say in the pasuk. I like the way you analyze the pasuk. You know, you chop it up and put it back together. Nefesh techata, achas techata, basota techata. Very impressive until you read the pasuk. You see, it doesn't say anything of the sort. Because, in nefesh achat, that's the way the Torah always speaks. How do you say the word an individual? Nefesh achat. Are you going to split an individual into an indi and a vigil? So it's in nefesh achat. That's one. Okay, then you got the other one, basota. So you have one mi'at in terms of the way in which the person was aware, another mi'at in terms of the way in which the person does something. You got three mi'utim, that's all. That's what you got. So chav is indeed l'mutei zeh kev zemi mi'at, which is the way in which it's done, and that we said was the most likely to be mamuet. V'chav l'mutei yochi chasav ha'ra'at zeitin, and that's all. Now that makes a lot of sense to the pasuk. The pasuk is addressing two issues. What's the person aware of, and what did he do? Those are the two things that you would need to discuss when you're coming to talk about the dinim of chiyuvim of chatas. Very clear and simple to me. But meanwhile, you're left with no reason to be mamayit zeyacho v'zeyacho. Lamaisa, both of the people, picked up and carried out a chawa. What's so bad? Memele, you would be chayev. And we welcome our dear Bob that we have missed so terribly. I think they're just thinking about you this morning. I wonder when he's coming. Ruchim habayim. Oh, my mind. Okay, now let me ask you something. We had in the Brisa a case that we didn't mention in the Mishnah. The case in the Brisa was, if one of them is Yachol, and one of them is not Yachol, then everybody's made of the Chachayev. So, when you say everybody's made of the Chachayev, who's Chayev? Haiminayu, which one is Chayev? So, Haiminayu b'Chayev, you said. Now, this seems like an absurd question. Haiminayu b'Chayev. I mean, what are we going to say? That the guy who didn't do it is chayev. I mean, that everybody is made it, that the guy who couldn't have done it, that he's the one that's chayev in the case where the other one would be potter? And that case, Rabbi Shimon, for some strange reason, or else even if neither of them could do it, that they're both potter. But if one of them could do it, then it's more likely that you're chayev. That's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, there's less reason to think that either of them would be chayev. So how could it mean? I mean, if anything, I could understand that it means that Rabbi Shimon is made of, and in a case where one of them basically isn't doing anything because he couldn't do it anyway, and I could do it, so my doing it is the entire thing. We can effectively ignore the other guy, and therefore, in this case, the Torah was the Maya. That I understand. I certainly don't understand the possibility of saying that everybody is made, including Rabbi Shimon, that where one guy can do it, the other can't do it. The guy who can't do it is Chayav. That's crazy. Explains places, of course, that's not what we're asking. It's a double parshat that we're referring to the guy who can do it. The Gemara is only asking, it says, Haiminayo, that, but how about the other guy? What would the opinion be, not according to Rabbi Shimon, of course, but what would be an opinion according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about a guy who can't do it in the presence of somebody who can do it? We never discussed that before. And that revolves around the issue of someone who gives a lending hand. Is an unnecessary misayeya meaningful, or is it effectively ignored? If you're going to tell me that an unnecessary misayeya is, look, I mean, he's still there. I mean, he's helping. He may not be necessary, but he's helping. And that's no different than the guy where both of them could have done it. So in a sense, they're both helping each other. You could look at it, right? So if Rebbe Meir's Machayev there, he'd be Machayev here also. Obviously, the other guy's going to be Chayev, the one who could do it. My only question is the other one Chayev? And the same question would be going to Rebbe Yehuda. That's what I'm entertaining also. I'm not entertaining only. The one who is Chayev is Dafka, the one who should not be Chayev. I'm not that stupid. But what about that question? I'll leave by the Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Meir. I'm not asking you to leave by the Rebbe Shimon. Amar Rav Chisda, the only one that's going to be Chayev, according to anybody, is the guy who could do it. Zeshiyachol. The Izeh Sheinu Yachol, my father, I understand, what is the other guy doing? The other guy's not accomplishing anything. If one guy could do it on the own and I can't, so then in the presence of the chaos or the maneuverability of the one who can't, does this point out, it has nothing to do with how strong you are. I mean, it might have to do with who's at the pivot of the lever and who's at the, you know, I mean, it's a question. You could be on a seesaw and the Shiloh is who's closer to the middle, who's further. But it's not only a function of weight, obviously. So it doesn't mean a yachol in terms of strength. But in other words, in this particular hotzah, depending on your strength, your position, and so on and so forth, one guy is basically helpless. And the other guy can do the whole thing on his own. So then he's called a misayeya. And misayeya is to be ignored. Is ain't
bomanish. That's why both of them could do it by themselves.
Because each one of them
is also unnecessary.
True, but since you can't be mavato one to the other, you can't say, well, he's not doing anything. What do you mean? So in other words, nobody's doing anything. So I guess it didn't move. I was imagining that it moved. Nobody did anything. Right? I mean, my kids do this all the time, but I don't fall for it. So, therefore, my garbage, what did he do? He didn't do anything. How could we require a guy for not doing anything? What do you mean, what did he do? Come and say, yeah, buddy, he was helping. I mean, well, I thought the whole point is, if you hold, I'll leave it to you, as you just pointed out yourself. He doesn't need to do, he only needs to help, so he's helping. Why is it different than that kind of helping? This kind of helping, in which the other person is doing it and this person can't do it, is only helping. It's not, he doesn't play a role, therefore, because he can't play an equal role. So therefore, a role in which one is only him to say, yeah, ain't gonna match. It's meaningless. I can bring you a raya that helping when it's unnecessary, meaning being a fifth wheel, that's basically the question. So being a fifth wheel, or for that matter, a fifth leg of a horse, which would be the same issue, right, is not meaningful. I can prove that to you. How can I prove it to you? Well, it says like this, Hayayu Sheva Gabe Hamita, Varva Tanayot Tachat Arva Ragle Hamita. Tanayot? If a Zav is sleeping on a bed, and he's got, this bed is supported by four talitot. That's how Rashi learns. Others learn taliyot are not talitot. And a taliyot is a tali, meaning it's a piece of beged that was going to be used for patching or whatever. Doesn't mean a whole, not going to matter if you're just analyzing the language. Is taliyot a proper way of saying the plural of talit? Okay, but anyway, so he's got, let's say he's got four pieces of beged, one piece under each one of these legs. Now, L'chora, we've got an issue over here of Mishkav Azav. Every one of these things, even though they never came in contact with the Zav, should be tummy because of Midrash Hazav, right? And in fact, that's not halacha. But you say, but wait a minute, I mean, you've got four legs, each one of which is holding up the Zav. I mean, so they're all helping. True, but Mipnei Shein Yichol La'amod Al Shalosh, this Zav would not have been able to sleep on his bed if it only had three legs. So therefore, there's no fourth leg. They're all first legs. Because they're all necessary. Therefore, they become Zeino Yachol, Zeino Yachol. And in the equivalent idea. So each one of them is equally imperative to the Mishkav Azav, and so we view it as having been the whole thing for all intents and purposes. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, of course, says, well, yeah, that's true, but by Shabbos, what's the din of Zeino Yachol, Zeino Yachol? Your partner. Well, here too, you're putter, so to speak, meaning it's not tummy. Because you're right, we absolutely need both of you for Shabbos. And over here, we absolutely need all four of you. But so what? Just like the Torah bothers you on Shabbos and views a partial helper as being, even when he's absolutely necessary, as not being the equivalent of the guy who did the job, and therefore everybody's potter. Over here, each one of those legs, even though he's absolutely necessary, is not sufficient to be called a primary Mishka Vatov and doesn't transfer the tuna to the talit. So it's completely consistent with our ideas here in Shabbat. However, Hayarokheva Gabi Behemah, on the other hand, if this guy, this Zov, is riding in his animal, he's riding his horse, and there's four, but this horse is not standing still. Tosfos points out, if the horse is moving, it's a whole different issue, because as we know, if you strobe light the horse while it's moving, indeed, it does remove its feet from the ground, two of the feet than the other two. That creates a whole different situation, as we'll see later. But assuming this horse now is standing still, there's four talitot, one underneath each leg, okay? And there, it's tahorot. Each one of those talitot are tahorot. Why? Because each leg is a fifth wheel. Since the horse can stand on three legs, as opposed to a bed, which will make no efforts to support itself on three legs, which is just outrageous sometimes, but that's the way it is. He said, since it's been mentioned, cholala amod al shalosh, so that means each one of them is essentially a fifth wheel, and it's being misayeya, but it's not really needed. Because we could do without you, Mr. Leg. So we could look at each leg and say, Mr. Leg, we could do without you. You're achieving nothing. I mean, therefore, they're not matami. Now, if you hold misayeya, yesh bo mamash, so then who cares if I'm a fifth leg? I'm pulling my weight, am I not? So if I'm pulling my weight, I should be part of the equation. And yet, it says in the Mishnah that you're taught, am I? So I ask you, Sir Rizvi, how come it's a yeah about it? Or am I not helping? Am I not carrying my own weight? La Mishnah Merlin, we say, hey, don't go my mouth. The only conclusion I can reach is that the Mishnah is taking for granted that helping as a fifth wheel is not significant because you're saying you're pulling your own weight, but we don't need you. This has vast implications for human affairs, as you can see. Because most people are fifth wheel, but they are pulling their own way. Hello, Calvin. So nice to have you here, buddy. I see you really want that wormwood. But I found out where it is, and I just have to go retrieve. Spoke to her at 2:00 in the morning. Interrupted her fishing trip just to get your wormwood. All right. Over have given me this guy applying some Cartesian logic here. When you come from Descartes, and there's not much choice, Leolam Emelecha Misea Yeshbo Mamash. Actually, I could tell you that that's not the point over here. The reason that the fourth leg, and therefore all of the legs, is considered to be potter is not because Misea Enbo Mamash. If it were really pulling its own weight, then Misea Yeshbo Mamash. Perhaps. The point over here is that the animal, in fact, will tend to remove its weight from the fourth leg. In the same way that a person who's tired will often lift up one foot, you think, I mean, doesn't that make it harder to stand? But it removes the pressure from my foot. So the animal also, what appears to you to be standing equally on four legs, is not really true. The animal is okay one leg slightly, and that one is not pulling its weight. And therefore, since each one of these legs, in turn, is playing the role of Messiah, and at any point it could be that one. That's the reason. No, it's
standing.
Yeah, standing still. That's the reason it doesn't say, of course, we're not talking about walking or running, because then obviously it lifts its leg up, and you can even have two up, and you know, so that would have changed everything.
At some point.
Yes, the Gemara, as our president points out, that's all very nice, but you can't theoretically say that each one of these legs is awkward. I mean, you could theoretically say, we don't need you to pull your weight, but we can't say you're not, either you are or you aren't. So you know what this is similar to? I'll tell you what it's similar to. It's similar to a case where a zav is lying on a surface that consists of, let us say, various filing cabinets. He goes to sleep in the office, and a filing cabinet, since it's open from the side, you don't say, amod v'nasim alachteinu, because frankly, those kind of people, we'd rather have them asleep instead of at the desk. So we'll just open the cabinets, take things out while he puffs away on the top. Now, the thing is that he has a tendency to roll around on his delicious bed of filing cabinets. Sometimes he's on top of this filing cabinet, sometimes he's on top of the other. We don't keep track of what happens over there. But the thing is that that's exactly the case over here. The animal will sometimes lift this leg, sometimes lift that leg. This is not a theoretical consideration. It's a practical consideration. Which leg? If you claim, Rebuta, that the issue over here is that there's an actual lifting of the leg, then we are left with the Zav on the filing cabinet scenario. And there, Lahave, says the Mark, is Zav HaMitaper. Is that not the case of someone who is twisting around on various cabinets, and that's a Mishnah? Milotan, does it not say that a Zav Shahayamutal al Chamisha Safsalim or al Chamisha Pundaot? Pundaot are filing cabinets, they use it for money storage. So, Le'orchan to Me'im. So, if he's lying along his length, along their length, so then they're all to Me'im. Le'orchan, however, if he's lying across these filing cabinets, say he's got five filing cabinets, and he's lying across them, his length to their width, then none of those cabinets are actually supporting Rove of him at any time. In which case, we don't have over here Rove of the Zav at one time on any location, and therefore he would be Tor. But if it's a Suffolk Mitapech, Aleihem, if we're not sure that he's standing still and he's lying and he twists around at night, then he's Tameh. Because we say, look, even though normally a Suffolk Tumim Rishut Rabim is Tahor. But over here, this is not a normal Suffolk. This is, the question is, what is the norm? Not, was there contact? But this is the norm that he switches from one to the other. Is that not the case by the animal? I mean, he's certainly not going to tell me that there's one leg that the animal keeps in the air all the time. It's going to move around to relieve the pressure on its feet. So then this is the case. You say, but well, I didn't see that. I didn't watch the Zav in the filing cabinets either. But that type of Suffolk would be metamic. If you can't tell me that that's the reason, it's got to be because El Allah, Mishram Damin Meseya in Bo Mamash, it's the way I saw it, says Rav Zvid in the first place. It's because even though I'm assuming that in fact it's sitting on all of its legs, one of them, and therefore all of them, vis-a-vis the others, are not carrying their own weight, even though they are, because we don't need it to carry its weight. Boy, oh boy, how many government positions would be lost? How many family nepotism appointments would disappear if this would get out? No wonder they burned the Talmud. Omer Papi, Mishmeder of Hafanan Namitin. I'll bring you another riot. That Misagia in Bo Mamash. Rabbi Yossi Omer, here's a fascinating thing. If a Zav is on a horse and there's a talit under the legs of the horse, now the question is it under the legs of the horse or under the hands of the horse? Oh, is that what they're called? In Hebrew, they're the hands. That's an easy way to, even though in Hebrew we call a rear axle, a front axle achori. Is it it's the front axle? It's the rear axle achori. Yes. So, a horse, actually, the gears that we have is probably wrong, according to most of the Rishonim. It should be the other way around. That a horse is metame on its feet, and a donkey is metame on his hands. Shemishenet asus al raglav, it should say. Mishenet achamar al yadav. Fine. Now, Rashi learns that Rav Yossi clearly is arguing on the Mishnah we just had that says all four legs and so on. That's the easiest way to look at it. Tosis is metallic a little bit. But anyway, I ask you, granted that this is true, but are the other legs not helping? Did you ever see a horse dancing down the street and standing up only on his rear legs? But that for a few minutes. But they're helping. So you see that a Misayeya must be allowed Mishum Damin a Misayeya in Bomanish. Omer Rashi, Avanam HaMitzin, I'll bring another ayah. Rav Eliezer Omer, here we're talking about a Kohen. A Kohen has to be standing on the floor of the Azorah in order to be doing his Avodah. If there is a chatzitza between his feet and his bare feet, not allowed to wear shoes either, if there's a chatzitza between his bare feet and the floor, so the din is that that's Passos is Avodah. Now suppose he has one foot on the floor, and his other foot is on a kli or an eben. Tosis points out, by the way, that you would think that an eben is not a chatzitza, because the four is made of habanim, and mim levina normally in a chatzitza. But that's not negel over here, because an eben that is standing on the floor is actually an obstacle, not a floor. So it's not a function of its chatzitza because of its material, it's a function of its chatzitza because it shouldn't be there. Okay, but here he's got one foot on the floor. Therefore, what should be the halacha? Is he standing on the floor, or is he standing on the kli? Rovin, analyze the balance of forces. If we would remove the kli, and now his foot would be in midair, the current way in which he's balanced, would he be able to maintain his balance, or would he fall over? If he would keel over, it's no good, because then he was obviously being supported by the kli. But if he could stand on the one leg that he's standing on, which is on the floor, then the avodah is kosher. It's only in lava that doesn't psula. I ask you, are you trying to tell me that he was not using his other leg at all? That was on the tree. Obviously, he was using it. Elamai, it's a misayeah. And you're telling me a misayeah that in do mamash, right? Okay, there you go. Omer Avina, I'll bring another ayah. Havanana mitzvina. Kibel b'yamin v'smalo misayahato. We have the same halacha about passing avodah, the Kabbalah Adam, or any other avodah, actually, in a case where you use your left hand. I suppose he's really tired today. So he's makaba with his right hand, but he's holding up his arm with his other hand because he's really getting tired holding his thumb for his turn to get up to the mizbeach. Okay, so he got into the mode in which he's supporting his hand with his other hand. There too, you have to say, yeah, the small. Is that considered to be Kabbalah the small? Or is that considered to be Kabbalah the Amin? So here it says, Kibel b'yamin, even though small misayato, avodato k'shera. Now you'll say, but why? Is it his left hand certainly carrying a certain portion of the weight? Must be because, okay, but you don't need it, do you? So it's called misayaya v'ade adari, la misham b'amin, misayaya v'mamash, shmamina. There you go, there's another right. Now, the case that we had in the bright of Zeyachol v'Zeyachol, Rabbi Meir holds your chayev, this raises an issue, because how do we look at that chayev? Do we look at that chayev that they both did this malacha, and since Rabbi Meir doesn't have a pasuk to be mamayev, what's the difference? How many people do the malacha? They're all shutafim in the malacha. Or do we say, look, this challah is a big challah. It has enough to go around for more than one guy. So therefore, what we do is we say, okay, he took out a grogeret of the challah, and the other guy took out another grogeret of the challah. But suppose b'sachakol is only one grogeret. Would you still say that you're both going to be shutafim in a single avodah malacha of one grogeret? That's a different way of looking at it, right?
Sure.
Do we need a shear for each one of these people so that we can, so to speak, theoretically split the malacha between them in a way in which each of them has all malacha? Or do we actually say we don't even need a shear? We need one shear. What's the difference? How many participants have? So that's our question. The inan shear lezeh v'shear lezeh, or the mashir echad kulan. Rav Chista and Rav Amnon argue about this issue. Chana ma shear lezeh v'shear lezeh, v'chana ma shear echad kulan. Okay. I think I can bring a riot from a Mishnah. Let's go back to that Zob story again. He's sitting on a bed. That's all very nice. Good. What are you saying? You're saying that this is a case of Ze'ino Yochol, the Ze'ino Yochol, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is Machayev. Okay, I understand that Rabbi Meir is not the one talking over here, because we're not talking about a case of Zeino Yochol. Obviously, this is not like Rabbi Meir. You asked a question, I'm leaving to Rabbi Meir. But I mean, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are certainly not arguing in this part of the issue about in a case where you are fired, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is Dr. Zeino Yochol, or according to Rabbi Meir is even the Yochol. But whatever the case is that you are fired, there's no reason for us to assume that there's a machlokes about whether you need a shear for each one. I mean, whatever it is undoubtedly what Rabbi Meir will hold, right? Okay, so now, you're telling me I need each one of those legs. True, you need each one of those legs. The question is, do you have a shear for each one of those legs? It's not another issue. That's the issue you're raising. Do you need enough in the challah to be machayev of everyone? That's your question. Well, how many ways can we split this up? I mean, because if you got four legs, you don't have enough zav to go around, do you? We can't cut them into four pieces and give one to each leg, because then you don't have a zog to be matami. So we call Shears evil as ever Shears evil as ever. How come we don't need a Zov on each way? Must be because. Must be because it's enough to have one Shear for all. See? Omer Nachman Yitzchak Hanan Amitin. I got another case. Svi. You too? Svi Shenechnas Labayit. Here you have our case we had early on. You have a Svi who walks into a house. Now, instead of kindly offering him a drink, you slam the door on him and decide you're going to eat him. After Shabbos, of course. That's what I said. Chachmasas offering. But at that point, when you close the door, you are Chayim on Seda. Okay? So now I thought, Bifanav Chayim. How about if two people run and slam the door together? Then you're Potter. But if Loya Cholach hardly know, if one guy couldn't move that door, and come along two people and move it together, it's basically the same case we had by Osar. Zay no yachol, zay no yachol. Chayabi. Problem is, there's only one Svi there. So how could you, I mean, we certainly can't say, I caught half of it, you caught half of it, because if there was only half of it there, then I wouldn't be chayav on Seda, because it wouldn't have been able to run away just with its rear. So in that case, we should ask, it's all very nice, but it's Zeno Yechov, it's Zeno Yechov. But where's the Shear? Liboy Shear Tzeda Lezeb, Shear Tzeda Lezeb. M'la Mishim Darmina, Shear Echad Akulam. See, you don't need. We view it as a shutafut in a single malacha, not as each one having various malachot. Omer Avina, Avanan Amitin, I got another case for you. I grew the same idea. Hashutafim Sheganvu V'tafchu. Here you have Ganavim Incorporated, or Ganavim and Company. So together they steal a cow and they shech the cow. So now you're chayev, of course, tashlumim daladei and so on. Amai liboy, you should say short. Amai liboy shir tvichlasev shir tvichlasev. I mean, how many times can you shech the same poor short? So you did a meiser shchita. There's not enough to do a meiser shchita for two people. There's only one shchita. El amishim nerminik shirach lekul. You see, shechting that one short is mechayev each of the shifrim. Yeah, you don't have to pay more than that's a sugya. We got the difference between the carrot and the kefir, how they pay. The Omer of Ashi, I'll also bring you a rang. Two people take out together the pole that is used for the weaving machine. So this is the pole on which you string all of those threads. So that you got two of them, obviously, you know, you move up and down. You gotta be able to stuff the shuttle between them. But you got these poles arranged. So what's the halach over there? This is a big, heavy pole. You're chayav. Amai. Liboy shirot salazev, shirot salazev. Why don't you need two separate shiur? I mean, here there's only one useful pole. Lamishim Narmina Shirak of the Kula? On the evaporated rubble of Rashi wine. I mean, maybe there's a big pole, so it's big enough to cook two eggs with. Because the shear of a pole is fuel. Oh, come on, man. If the shear of a pole is fuel, why did it have to be a weaver's pole? Must be that we're talking about a pole that I'm in higher because of the shear of weaving, not the shear of burning. So he says, Rav Acha said, well, maybe it's because deep beke de levashel beitzak alalazer beitzak alalazer. Oh, Malay, im kein lishmin and kind of the amavim, just tell me a pole. Why is that for your weaver's pole? And maisha the garden. So obviously it's not talking about a pole for fuel. Ah, okay, fine. Weaver's pole. How do you know how long the weaver's pole is? Maybe this is a very long machine, and it's got enough that at the same time you're making two tablecloths. So there's enough over here to be able to make a useful pole for one guy that's carrying it, plus a useful pole for the other guy that's carrying it. At the same time, this pole is so big, we'll be able to both make ourselves a tablecloth at the same time. How do you know this is a case where Ebo Shila Zev was a man? You can't be right. That Vilma Deepe, Gidela Rog Mapala Zev, Gidela Rog Mapala Zev, Elami Halek, Elami Shpamir Asari. But you're not good enough for our tuna. Well, the other tunas were okay, but this tuna is not. Tani Tanak, I made a Rav Nachman. We have another Tanak. Shnayim Shotziu Kana Shelgardi, Turin, Rabbi Shimon Mechayev. The way in which this Tanak said it was really weird. Because Isaac Schleim Shem Tzvi Pturin and Rabbi Shimon is Mechayev. Of course, Rabbi Shimon is the one who says you're Pater wherever you have two people doing it. And whoever the Tanakhama was, whether it was Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, how come he's saying the opposite? He's saying, Rabbi Klappe, why, where are you going? This is crazy. That was okay, son. I didn't hear. And Le'ema, I meant, Tanakhama says Chayavim, and Rabbi Shimon says Pater. And that, of course, is the correct way to say over this time. Patur. And he's patur. Ah, falakli. This is interesting. You got a bowl. You got a bowl. And in this bowl, you have less than a groberet of cornflakes. So you're patur on the cornflakes. But you'd say, so what? But the bowl. Ah, but since the bowl is only there to carry the cornflakes. And it's not that you need the bowl where you're going, you want the cornflakes where you're going. If you're not chayav on the cornflakes, you can't be chayav on the bowl either, since the kli is tfeilala. Well, suppose, let's say, you're carrying out someone who falls asleep in Das Yomi. You figure it's the best way to teach this guy a lesson, pick up this chair while he's fast asleep, and move him out. And then he wakes up and wonders what planet he landed on, right? Which he normally wonders anyway, I mean, even if he's in the Das Yomi, but this way goes on for a minute. So the shaila is, I'm not chayav on the guy. Why? Because a live thing, I'm not chayav on carrying. You see, a live person, I think we're going to get into tomorrow. But the shaila is, how about the chair? I mean, meanwhile, I carried the chair out. Or in this case, in the mission, the guy was sleeping on a bed. They really went to town with that family. But of course, it was the Roman derech, wasn't it? You know, you sat on the bed. So over there, you're padraf ha mita, cham mita tfilalah. How about if you take out a dead body on a mita? Then you would be chayav, because the mate is not nosei et atzmo. So, matter of fact, even if you take out a gezayit min hamate, or a gezayit min hanevela, or a kadasha min hasheretz, these are all shiurim chashuvim because of the shir tuma. So, even though, of course, there are malacha shein tzricha legufa, because you certainly are not trying to get the mate, you're trying to get this out of the house, but this is an important shir. So, therefore, you would be chayav. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you wouldn't be chayav, because even though you have an important shir, but it's a malach shein tzricha legufa. So therefore, he would be put. Tener abot hamotzi ochlin kishur im bekli chayav ala ochlin upadr ala kli. And that sounds a little bit weird, because who cares? I mean, what do you mean? Would I think I'm chayav separately? Two separate chataot, one on the content, one on the kli. I mean, even if I had carried them out separately, I wouldn't. If it was be'el and echad, I wouldn't be chayav two separate chataot. So this is really crazy. And then it goes, but it gets worse. You might have a kli tzarichlo. If you need to have the kli out there anyway for more cornflakes that you've stored outside, so then you're chayav iman on the kli. So I said, Gemara, what's that supposed to mean? Are you trying to tell me that if I ate two pieces of chayla, the hell of that, I'd be chayav on each piece? Is that not what you're saying? You're saying, well, you took out the kli, and you took out the cornflakes, and maybe you had two grogerets of cornflakes, you'd be chayav on every grogeret separate chatos. Whatever is such a thing? Normally the thing is, if it's be'el and echad, then there's no chiyav of separate chataot. So how could you shvam no kushnei zeit echilu b'lem echad chayav shtayim? Om Rav Sheshe zochmo yeskihan. We're talking about a case over here when it says chayav, it means you were a shogeg on the ochman, but you were amazed on the kli. So when it says that you're chayav afal kli, it means you're chayav misa, not that you're chayav akar mufatis. Master for Rav Ashi. Besides the fact that that's weird, says Rav Ashi, it does say you're chayav af al hakli. Last time I heard, af means the same as the other one. I don't get how you could say that chayav af al hakli means we introduce a new chiyav over here with chiyav nisa because you're amazing. Unacceptable. Elam Rav Ashi, I'll tell you what the point is. Of course, we're talking about shogeg. It was a shogeg both on the cornflakes and on the kli. However, it's talking about a case where it was no dalo, the chazar, the no dalo. He found out about the hotzah of the kli without realizing the cornflakes. Then he found out separately about the hotzah of the cornflakes and the kli, and that was a separate issue that he had done. And then, and it's dependent on the machlokas we had before, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether yidiyot are michalkot, when you find out afterwards, you remember? Find out afterwards that you did it. You didn't bring yet your card. And then you find out separately that you did another one that was betoch chosar haloma. So we have a focus over there about whether you diot or mechalkot. Now certainly, kapara is mechalekot, right? If I'd actually brought the carbon, and then I find out about the other thing that I did, then I for sure will have to bring it. But here we're talking about a case where it was you diot, and that's what we're arguing about. Rav Sheshes and Rav Ashi Rav Cheshire says that it's talking about that he was mazed on the Kli, and he didn't want to say the case that we said. Gosh, he must hold that the din is that Yediot wouldn't be Mechalkot, and therefore he has no choice but to say his funny teretz that's talking about it was mazed on the Kli. Whereas Rav Ashi, who says, well, what's the problem? Why couldn't we just have a case where the Yediot was Mechalik? He must hold, like the Shita, that all Yediot is Mechalik. And that's the Machlokas Rav Ashi and Rav Cheshire. Says Tosfos that that shot, which is Rashi's shot, can't be true. Because you can't say that Rav Ashi and Rav Cheshire are arguing in the Machlokas Rav Yochanan and Mishmabit. Because there's always a simple solution that Rav Cheshire could have said anyway. Both are leaving Rav Yochanan and Mishmabit. He could have said it's talking about that you brought the carbon. Why does it have to be talking about a case we only found out? Why can't it be a case where you brought the carbon and Kapora and Machalkos, both according to Rav Yochanan and Mishmabit? No, says Tosfos. The Gemara is not trying to figure out when it says Plukta Rav Cheshire. It's not saying Plukta the Rav Cheshire and Rav Ashi. That's not the point. All that the Gemara is saying is that this din, the Yerchayev Shtechat Ha'ot, would be a Machlokas Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, depending on the case. Doesn't mean the idea is Machalik Yerchayev. We're not coming to address the Machlokas of Rav Cheshire and Rav Ashi. It was Rashi who jumped to that conclusion. He's good? Did you have a good time? Are you going to start coming every day? How about if we start the Mishnah on turtle, on the base? Amorti ki kalosh rabin chayav. Hotzi ushnayim turi. Lo yachola kagotzio. Hotzi ushnayim chayavim. Rabbi Shimon Bok. Omre mi yodam rabbi, amre lom rabbaye, amre lom bimas di satana. Zei yachol vzei yachol rabbi meir mechayev rabbi yodam rabbi Shimon Bok. Zei no yachol vzei no yachol rabbi yodam rabbi meir mechayev rabbi Shimon Bok. Zei yachol vzei no yachol. Tire yachol chayav. Tanya nami hagi amotzi ki kalosh rabin chayav. Hotzi ushnayim. Rabbi Meir mechayev. Rabbi Yudomer, im lo yachol achad vatsiyo. Yotziyo shnayim chayavim. Vim lo ad paturi. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Minoni bilim. Yotan rabbanan. Ba'asata. Ha'osef kulam ve'lo ha'osef mitzata. Keitza. Shnayim shoyu ofazim imazlei. Ve'lo zgin. Ve'kikar. Ve'shoftim. Ve'kumos. Ve'kotrim. Ve'konim. Ve'tzelo shkarab. Yoko yu chayavim. Talmud Omar Basuta Osar Kula Vala Osar Nikzata Bar Vi Igor Shabrila Vot Zilu Shut Rabin Or Bekora Vot Zilu Shut Rabin Rabbi Yehuda Aymer Im Lo Yachol Achad Vot Zilu Vot Zilu Shnayim Chayabim Ni Im La Peturim. I just want to point out, which I didn't at the time, that the two cases of eagle and Korah are very likely there in order to establish a status of Shabbat. The eagle is heavy. The Korah is unwieldy. So it doesn't matter what the problem is. Rabbi Yudomer, im lo yachol achad lotzi vatzir shnayim chayav, im lapter. Rabbi Shimon Omer, apa pishe lo yachol achad lotzi vatzir shnayim pturim. But kach ne'amar ba'asavta, that was the point of the pasuk, isn't it? Yochit shal sakai, yom shnayim tzir pturim. Now, but my kabi it's again. V'hai kro, v'im nev shachat akta vishka gam yamar tzir asuta, Rabbi Shimon tzir, aha, flat of you tektivi, as if it wrote, nefesh tekata, achat tekata, v'asavta tekata, chad amal utte zeo kevizeminia, chad amal utte zeo kevizeo, v'chad amal utte zeo kevizeo kevizeo. Rabbi Yehuda, Chadmud is Eokev as a Minyam, yes. Chadmud is Eokev as a Eokev, yes. But Chadmud, Yochit Shasa Borat Beitin. Rabbi Shimon, Yochit Shasa Borat Beitin Chayav, or Tosfos Girsa, Yochit Shasa Borat Beitin, Lo Bo Yikra. This is a simple svar. Rabbi Meir, Miktiv Nefesh Tachata Achas Tachata Basoto Tachata Trimio Tektive, Chadmud is Eokev as a Minyam, but Chadmud is Yochit Shasa Borat Beitin. Onama, Zeyakov is no yokol de reko kaya. Hani no yokol. Omrev kis is ashi yokol. Diz eshe no yokol. Michael Abdi. Omrev rabbi nuna. What do you mean? I mean, how come isayea ade? Omar like, eh, isayea in bo mamash. Omrev zvid mishmei de rabba afanana mitnina. Haya yoshev agave amita. Varbata liyo tzakat ragle amita. Arba ragle amita. Zmeot, bidei shei no yokol omar shabosh. Rabbi shimin utayo. Haya rochev agave beima. Varbata liyo tzakat ragle beima. Torot, bidei shei kolol omar shabosh. Vamai. Okay, Messiah, Bani Adani. Love, you shouldn't be Amin and Messiah in Bomanash. Omre, you don't need this car, tell you all the name of the car. Messiah, Yesh Bomanash. Vishani off the Akrava the garment. So, keep the Zin in Akraha, the Zin in Akraha, Bahavik is other mitapet. Milotran, Zav Shayamutala, Hamishas of Salim, our Hamishapundaot, Lurkan, Zimehin, Little Ruban, Taurin, Yoshin, Safek mitapet, Halehim, Tmehim, Alam Shamim, Messiah in Bomanash. Under Rabbi Mishmeni Rabbi Afanana Mitzmina. Rabbi Yerushi Yomer Asus Kutamei Araglav V'achamor Al Yadav. Shemishenet Asus Araglav V'chamor Al Yadav V'amai Alka Misayeya V'al Yadavim V'amishum Yamina Misayeya In Bo Mamash. Omer Vashi Afanana Mitzmina. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Raglo Akatala Kli Raglo Akatala Ritzpah Raglo Akatala Eben Raglo Akatala Ritzpah Loim Koshi Iguina Tela Kli Betila Tela Eben Yocholam Ona Raglo Akatala Tadak Shira ואם לא עבור את הפסולה במים, הלכה מסייע בעלי אדלי, אנשים בימין המסייע עם הממש, אמרו בין אבנן המתנינה, כידל בימין, בשמאל מסייעתו, עבודתו קשירה במים, הלכה מסייע בעלי אדלי, אנשים בימין המסייע עם בממש, שמע מינה, הממר זה יכול לזה יכול רבי מהם החיים, יבוא אלו, ואינן שיעור לזה ושיעור לזה, עוד גם השיעור אחד לכולם, וכיסב רבי מן אחד המשיר לזה ושיר לזה וכאן אומר שיעור אחד לכולם אומר פה במשמי לרב אבנן המתנינה היה יושב אגב במיטה ועבד להיות תחת ארבע רגלי המיטה תמיות לפני שאינה יכולה לעמוד על שלוש רמי לבוא שיעור זיבה לזה ושיעור זיבה לזה למה משום דיימינה שיעור אחד לכולם אומר נחמן יצק אבנן המתנינה צבי שנכנס לבית ונעל אחד בפניו חיה נעלו שניים פטורים לא יכול אחד ונעלו ונעלו שניים חיימים רמי לבוא שיעור צידה dollars that is your dollars that now we should manage your card the club on revina banana retina I should have finished on the top of my viva my the boy shoot the dollars that is your dollars that now we should manage your card the club from revash banana retina shnayim shotziu kanishal gadi חייבים, אמר, ליבוי שירות, צהל הזה ושירות צהל הזה. מה משום ימין, שיר אחד לכולם. אומר רבך ברגע רב לרבש, נעצור פס. דומה, כדי לבשר ביצק הלל הזה, ביצק הלל הזה. נו, כן, לשמין, כאן, מה יש לנו, כאן בגרדי? ובדיום הדהית, כדי להראות מפל הזה, כדי להראות מפל הזה. אלא מי הולק, אלא נשמע מינו. זה ניתן לקבל רב נחמן, שניים שהוציאו כאן שגרדי פתולים, פתולים, ובשמין לחייב. וואי, צעקי, מה הם? אלא אם החייבים, ובשמין פותר. המוץ יוכל בכל מיני שיעור בכלי, פטורף על הכלי, שכלי תפילה. את החי במיטה, פטורף על המיטה, שמיטה תפילה. את המת במיטה חייב, וכן גזית מן המת, וגזית מן המת, וכן בשם מן השרת. רבי שמעון פטר. כאן רבנו המוץ יוכל כשיעור, אם בכלי, חייב על הורכל פטורף על הכלי. ואם היה כלי צריך לו, חייב על הכלי. וואט? ששמע מן האוכל שני זית החלב, ואין אחת חייב שניים? אומר רב ששת אבנה הסכינן, כגון ששגג על האוכלים, והזין על הכלי. מה אז כבר רבה שפה אף על הכלי כדאי? אלא אומר רבה שכגון ששגג, וזהו בזה, ונודע לו וחזר ונודע לו. ובפלוק כך, רבי אוכל עם רבי שמעון במקש.